Moses' mother. We probably should have used it for Mother's Day, but come on, God's got a place for everything. And so it showed up last week. And so we read out of Exodus chapter 1 and 2, and we talked about putting it in God's hands. There are some things that you're carrying around in your life that you can't sustain much longer, and you were really never meant to carry it anyway. And it's something that needs to be put in God's hands. So we gave you some inspiration. And today what I want to do is I want to give you some application for it, because it's good to be inspired, but if you don't know what to do with it, then hey, we just got happy for no reason. And so today I want to give you some applications, some practical things to do to put it in God's hands. And I want to go to the book of Philippians this morning, chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. There are people who absolutely love these verses, and there are other people who absolutely hate them. Nevertheless, they're in the Bible. And so you got to handle it, amen? There are some things in the Bible that are a little bit tough to chew on, but come on, you got to eat it anyway, because it's God's word, and we all need God's word, amen? And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Don't worry about anything." Come on, somebody. And everybody who's worried right now is like, just shut up, y'all. Don't even say nothing. Those verses in the Bible like that. Leave me alone, Paul, writing this stuff. What you know? By the way, he's in prison when he's writing this. Anyway, he knows a little something. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, come on, say instead with me this morning. Yeah, instead, pray about everything. Now, I warn you, my mama's here today, so she's going to shout me down. And so you either keep up or move out the way, okay? And they will verify every story I've ever told you. I have two of my brothers here. I am the better looking of them. And so don't hate. Don't hate. I'm not lying. I have the mic. Anyway. Solemn moment right here. Got keys playing while I'm reading scripture. Calm down, okay? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word today, that it's going to have an impact on our lives, and that today we're going to know your peace in a way we haven't known it before. Today, I'm praying that all the things that we've been carrying, that we've been worrying, Lord, we will give it to you, and in place, we will receive your peace. So, Lord, this morning in this place, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, help me to speak this message in the tone and in the manner that you want it delivered, so it will be the most effective in changing our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me give you a quick review from last week. In case you weren't here, last week we went to Exodus chapter 1 and verse 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it's the story of the birth of Moses. And Moses was actually born to some Hebrew parents who at the time were enslaved by the Egyptians. And the Egyptian king, who was known as Pharaoh, he had issued a decree that any Hebrew boy that was born must be killed immediately. They were trying to control the population because the Hebrews were becoming very, very populous in the Egyptian empire, and they were afraid that the Hebrews would take over. And so they decided that they were going to do a little population control, and so they issued this decree that any male child born to the Hebrew children had to be killed at birth. And so he had this meeting with the midwives that were delivering these children and saying, listen, as soon as they're born, do something about it. And so the midwives came back and said, you don't understand. These Hebrew ladies are vigorous and they have kids before we even get there. Come on, look at your neighbor. And if she's a lady, say, you strong. You strong. And these ladies, I mean, come on, they were taking matters into their own hands. and making it happen. And so this lady who gives birth to this child, she decides she's not going to follow through with these rules. Evidently, she believed God had a plan, so she held on to her child and hid him. And when she couldn't hide the child anymore, she had a decision to make. Would she keep the child and risk herself, her child, and her family be destroyed? Or would she put the child in God's hands? And so she came up with this idea of putting a basket together and waterproofing it and putting the child in there and sending it down the Nile River. And it goes down the river, and as it's floating down the river, a woman finds the basket. And of all people to find the basket, it would be Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you would think this is over because Pharaoh's daughter surely is going to listen to daddy. Am I right? Because we all listen to daddy. And so Pharaoh's daughter finds this child and hears it crying. And the Bible says she had compassion on him. And in the distance was this sister, Moses' sister, who sees this happen, and she comes up to Pharaoh's daughter and asks, "Do you need a woman to nurse the child?" And she says, "Yes, I do." And she says, "Oh, I know someone." And so she gets her mother, who is Moses' mom, to take her very own child in and raise the child. And here's the better part of the story, I just think is incredible. Not only does she get to raise her own child, but remember, they're slaves, so they're not getting paid. They're lucky just to have a house. They decide to pay her to raise her own child. Come on, daycare, just that bill just turned around. And they started paying you to watch your kids. Come on, somebody. That's a good daycare. And you find it, let us know. All right. And so you see how the tales have been turned here. And you obviously see that God had a plan. God had a plan for Moses' life. And so we begin to talk about how difficult it must have been for this woman to put her child in God's hands. You know, there are some things that we can put in God's hands. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to put that in God's hands. I'm not going to worry about it. But there are other things that are precious to us that is really difficult to put in God's hands because I just need to know before I let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to find out if this is all going to work out before I actually put something so precious in his hands. And we said last week that what looks like an incredible sacrifice can actually be an incredible setup. Because that thing that you're holding on to, it does feel like a sacrifice. It does feel like something that you have to give up. But we miss the part that that thing that you're giving up doesn't mean that you're losing it. Come on. It means that I'm putting it in God's hands. And we do know the characteristics of God, that he is a loving father. We do know that he is a, hey, here's a good one, savior. Come on, somebody. And so when we put it in the father's hands, it's in good hands. It's in good hands. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's in good hands. When you put it in God's hands, it's in good hands. And so we begin to discuss, why is it so hard to put something in God's hands? And the bottom line is because we're afraid of losing. We do not like to lose. Can I get an amen? I don't like to lose sports things. I mean, I want to win at everything. I like to win arguments. I like to win. And so whenever it comes to these things that are precious in our lives, we know the risks of losing. And because we know there's a possibility that we would lose it, we would rather hold on to it so that we can guarantee that it's not going to turn out in the way that we think it will in our minds. Because we think, because we've had a few successes under our belt before, that our strength can carry this thing. Remember, these women, they have given birth to their own children, so they had to have been feeling pretty confident. Am I right? They had to be feeling pretty strong. And so this woman in her strength could lead herself to believe that if I was strong enough to give birth to this child on my own, then I am strong enough to protect this child on my own. But there's a limit, amen? There's a limit in your strength. You might be good, but you still need God. And this is where this is the point that she got to, that she still needed God, even though she was strong. And we threw this line out there. Oftentimes, the confidence that we get from our abilities is the very thing that interferes with the convictions of our dependabilities on God. See, our ability gets in the way of our dependability on God, because we think, I can take this, I can handle this on my own. Anybody ever been there before? You psyched yourself up enough to believe that I got this, and you knew deep down, I don't got this, but I got this, but I don't know what I'm gonna do if it doesn't work out, but I got this. And we psych other people, I got this, Jamie, I got this, I'm strong, man. And we lead ourselves to believing that we're so strong, when in reality, when no one else is around, we know, man, I'm weak. Do you see how we deceive ourselves? And I have found this, that so many times we fall into this trap of trying to be strong when really God wants us in the place where we're just willing to surrender. And there are people in here today, you're trying to use every ounce of strength that you have to fix things in your life, to make it all work out. You're trying to fix things in your family. You're trying to fix other people in your own strength. And right now, you may feel like you're on a roll. And honey, I just want to tell you, that's just a little bit of adrenaline. Give it some time. It's going to wear off. And you're going to hit that point where you say, I need help. And rather waiting to that point where it all falls apart, I would say right now, go to him and say, Father, I need you. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Father, I need you. And so as we begin to break this down, we talked about three things that happens whenever you put it in God's hands. And the first thing we said was God's protection. Obviously, God protected this child that was in this basket. And whenever we put these situations in God's hands, you can expect God's protection to come right along with it. Amen. Another thing that we said was that God's provision comes whenever we put it in his hands. This mother who was a slave is now being paid to watch her own child. That just blows my mind. Every mom in here right now should just be feeling really, really good about this. Amen? Because you would get paid to watch your own kid. That is a priceless thing. But to get paid, holla, somebody take me to eat. Amen? I'm feeling it. I mean. And then the third thing we said was we see God's purpose when you put it in God's hands, because God's purpose was beginning to unfold whenever this woman decided to put this situation in God's hands. And if you know the story of Moses, you see how God used him to deliver the Hebrew children from the hands of the Egyptians. Come on, somebody, God's got a plan. And I want you to know, God's got a plan with everything that you're going through right now. And you say, that is a dangerous thing to say. I know. But I believe God has a plan with what you are going through right now, and God can use it. God will use it, because the Bible tells us in Romans that God calls us all things to work together. Amen? It all comes together, but it comes together because of him. He causes it to work together for the good of those who love God. Anybody love God in here? He causes it to work together for us if you put it in his hands. So today what I want to do, I want to help you to put it in his hands. Because in theory, it sounds great. You may have lifted your hands in worship today and said, God, I put it in your hands. But as soon as church is over, you take it right back. And this week you stress out, and every now and then you throw on a Christian song and you feel pretty good for about 3.5 minutes. And then the phone rings. Come on, somebody. Don't you hate when that happens? And then they begin to tell you what's going wrong and this and that. And it's like, leave me alone. Come on. I need my Jesus time. So today I want to help you to put it in God's hands. And a key verse, I didn't put it on the screen. I'll just quote it to you. And I would write it down if I was you, because you will need it. Psalms 55, verse 22. It says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Give it to him, and he will take care of you. See, this is how we roll, though. Okay, Lord, if you show me how you're going to take care of me, then maybe we can negotiate a few things out. Come on, now I'm talking to some people in here. Any business folks in here? Any business folks in here? Come on now. We like to negotiate. And so you show me what you got, and I'll show you what I got, and we'll see how it can work out. And if it all works out, then we'll go through with the deal. And so we become better at dealing than we do with surrendering. Amen? And so when it comes to putting something in God's hands, we got to see how it's all going to work out, because we got to see if it's going to work in our favor before we put it in God's hands. But here's the thing. When you live a life of faith, it is not necessarily what you see. It's what's unseen. And this is the position that God allows us to be in, because this is the place where we truly have to trust God. You see, the other way, you don't have to trust God, because it's been all negotiated out. By the way, have you ever negotiated with God before? Come on, I'll raise my hand. I have. God, listen, I have an idea. If you do this, then I can do this. And I mean, Lord, we can get this thing done. Like, you and me, we're good like that. I do that sometimes. And God doesn't respond. It's like, where you at? He doesn't respond. And it puts me back in that place of praying, God, I need you. Not my will, but yours be done. And there's some moments that you have with God that are just really, really raw, because reality is so in your face. And all of the fancy Christian cliches that you try to throw at it, it just kind of ricochets right back at you. And it reaches that moment where the only thing you can do is say, God, I need you to do something. Those are the people I want to talk to today. Because you're at that place where you cannot carry this anymore. We read out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Here's the first thing. If we're going to put it in his hands, bring it to him with prayer and praise. I want you to hang on now, because I know you were looking for something better than that. I can see the look on your face. You're like, are you kidding me? That's all you got, preacher? Hold on, okay? Bring it to him with prayer and praise. I have found that there are times that can be so difficult, it's hard to pray. You ever got tired of praying for it? Come on. You ever reached a point to where you really have that feeling of, are you going to do anything about this? And it almost feels like God has forgotten us. It almost feels like God's not looking out for us like we thought he said in his word. And so it leaves us in a place where we feel like we're all alone. And the weight of it not only affects us emotionally, but now it has gotten to the point that it has affected us spiritually. And Paul tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. And this is where it truly is a sacrifice to bring it to him. God, I need you. I'm praying. I'm giving it to him whenever I say, I need you. I need you to carry this because it is too heavy for me to bear. And so I'm going right along with your word here, and I'm giving it to you because Pastor Wade told us in Psalms 55, it says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will take care of you. So I need you to do that Psalm 55 thing on me today. And listen, if you got to pray like that, I say, go for it. Come on, somebody. Let's quit trying to be fancy spiritual here, and let's just get real with God. Amen. Can I say it like this? God can handle what you bring him. You're not going to scare him away. In fact, he may respond. Come on, somebody. We bring it to him in prayer, which is part of it, but we also bring it to him in praise. Because Paul said, pray about it. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Tell God what you need and say, and thank him. God, I give this to you. God, I give this to you. That's the prayer every day. God, I give this to you. 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 And that's what we feel like. That's my prayer life. God, I give this to you. But what if you added a little, and I thank you that you will take care of it. God, I give it to you, and I thank you. You see, what's happening here is this. A change of perspective is taking place spiritually. See, when God does things, he starts spiritually. See, we want him to start emotionally. Make me feel better about it, and then show me what you're going to do, and then I'm going to get all crunk and hype spiritually about what you have done. Come on, raise the roof, somebody, because I saw God move. God wants us, watch this, God wants us to bring it to him and praise him for it before it even happens. The Bible says this, a time is coming and now is to worship him. A time is coming. That's where we're waiting for him to answer the prayer. But it says, but now is the time to worship him. The time is coming. The answer is coming. But you don't worship him once the answer gets here. You worship him before the answer even shows up. Amen? And so when I say bring it to him in prayer and praise, God, I'm giving this to you because it's too much for me to bear. But I thank you, Lord, that your word says that if I cast my cares upon you, that you will take care of me. So I'm putting it in your hands today. See, there's people during worship on a Sunday that will lift their hands in worship. And some of us, we make it like a personal style thing. That's just not how I worship. I'm quiet and reverent before the Lord. Come on. Yeah, I know how y'all roll. That clapping thing is a little boisterous in church. I don't want to get in the flesh. Come on, now I can preach old school, y'all. Don't want to get in the flesh. I want to be true with the Lord. But have you ever once thought that when that person is lifting their hands, they're saying, God, take it all. Take it all. I would encourage you, if you're carrying a lot of heavy weight and a lot of stuff that is just weighing on you, it would completely change your life if you can just throw your hands in the air in complete surrender to God and say, God, today I'm giving it to you and I'm worshiping you that you are going to carry us through this. Amen. Come on. Sometimes you got to get your praise on. And so we got to pray about it because I'm bringing it to him, but I also got to praise him. So don't just spend your time praying without praising. Because when you praise, that's where you truly are exercising your faith. It takes a lot of faith, y'all, to be able to thank God for doing something that you don't even see him doing yet. I thank you that you're going to save my kid. And next thing you know, he's acting a fool and winding up in jail. It's hard to praise God when that is happening, but I'm going to praise him even in the storm, amen? I'm going to praise him even when it's hard. And that's what I mean when I say, bring it to him. God, today I'm going to bring you my praise, and I'm going to bring you my problems. I'm bringing it all to you because I know that you can carry it. Amen. So if you're carrying something in here today, this is where it starts. God, I'm bringing it to you. I am going to pray about this thing. And listen, you say, well, what angle do I pray? I don't always know the angle to pray. I just say, God, I give it to you because life is complex. Amen. It is. How do you pray about it? And people, oh, God, your will be done. I don't know. All I know is you said a lot of stuff in your Bible that I believe is true, so I'm going to go with what you said. Amen? I'm going to go with what you said. I'm bringing it to him in prayer. I'm bringing it to him in praise. Hands up. Empty hands. I'm surrendered. I'm giving it to you. And my hands are open. You ever play a little backyard football and they never threw you the ball? I'm open. I'm open. Go back to the huddle. I was open. I was wide open. You didn't even see me. You've watched your team lose. And on that play they lost on, you went back and you said, he was open. And there's a lot of people who are in church who are not open. And I believe God wants to give you that peace. I believe God wants to give it to you. But your hands are so full carrying all of this stuff that if you just said, God, I give it to you, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to thank you ahead of time because that's what they told me to do at church. So I receive that peace. I've learned that peace is priceless. And listen, peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's this confidence in the middle of the trouble. Some of you are in storms and you want that storm to go away, and God just might be watering some seeds in your life. Come on. He may just give you a little umbrella of peace in the meantime. Bring it to him in prayer. And in worship. Here's the second thing. Fix it with God's word. Now, when I say fix it, I'm not talking about the problem. I'm talking about your mind. Because most of the time, the problem isn't the problem. It's how we think of the problem that's the problem. Amen? You ever been scared of something that's not proven. I lived with this lady who was beautiful. Who over 20 years ago, we married, fell in love, wonderful love story. But there are times where there are sounds that make her believe that someone is trying to get us. So you hear the noise and she's like, you got to go check that. We have kids in this house. It's probably one of the kids. No, no, I'm telling you, somebody is out there and they're going to get us. We live in the woods. But the problem is, those little Dateline shows, another 48 hours. You know all those shows. You watch that, and that's why they make those movies on Lifetime Network. So I go check. There's nothing out there. Just go to sleep. Next morning, I wake up. How'd you sleep? Didn't sleep a lick. Why? My mind. You see, a lot of times our situations, they're one thing, but our mind, the what ifs. Come on, now we're getting there. The what ifs. Well, what if that happens? And what if this happens? And what if, oh my God, I never thought of that, but that could happen to us. And so these questions, these what ifs, cause us to backtrack. We back away from faith and we supplement it with caution. And we put it underneath the title of wisdom so that you don't think I'm scared. And you don't think that I lost faith. Amen? Now I'm preaching this. So what has to happen is we have to fix our minds, because once I put it in God's hands, my mind is still rolling. I mean, I dropped it off, but I'm still thinking about it. Like my mind is playing all these scenarios of what could go wrong and how bad it could be if it goes wrong. And it's going to be all my fault because I put it in his hands instead of just taking care of it myself. So instead of fixing our minds, we spend all of our energy fixing the problem. And the problem is prolonged longer because it's not really the problem that's the problem. It's the mind that's the problem. See what worry does to you? It creates scenarios. One of the first trips made to Tallahassee, it was driving back from Tallahassee to Louisiana, okay? And I was with one of my guys, and we were driving back, and Cynthia was trying to get in touch with me. So I'm in conversation with this guy. You know, we're having one of those really good conversations. And I didn't have my phone on me, and I usually keep it on silence with the little vibrate mode, you know, just to, in case if it's on me, I can hear it. So I just had it in the console, and we're just having such a good conversation. So we go a little while, and so we reach this rest stop, and we decide to take a break for a moment. So I look at my phone. It's like 8 missed calls. 10 text messages. Now, I mean, at times I'd like to think I'm important. But that day, I felt really, really important because she wanted to know, where are you? What's wrong? I haven't heard from you in a long time. Are you in the ditch? Did you run into a tree? And she's just like, yep, I sure did. But the mind, do you see where the mind, I mean, we're incredibly intelligent people. We are incredibly intelligent, and we have a lot of forethought. I mean, we could think some things through, but as much of a strength as that is for us, it also becomes our weakness, because we can assume the worst in a heartbeat. We can assume that everything is falling apart because of one little bitty thing, because our minds, they're programmed just to react and to continue to process this information over and over and over and over from every angle, that, watch this, that we lose our perspective. So how am I going to fix that? Well, I fix it with God's word. You see, we started spiritual, but now we're starting to get to the mental. We started with something spiritual. Be led by the Spirit is what the Bible tells us. So we start with the Spirit, and now it begins to address my thinking. And so I have to fix it with my mind, because my mind is conditioned to worry. And in order for that to be changed, I've got to recondition it with God's word. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true." On what is true. I know that there are facts out there, but that doesn't mean that that is the truth about you or your situation. That is just a possibility. Doesn't mean it's yours. It just means that possibility exists. Fix your mind on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and, watch this, worthy of praise. Let me sum this up and help you out. Think about what God could do. Instead of what could happen, let's start thinking about what God could do. Because God could do a miracle. Amen. God could turn it around. And when you start thinking like that, God, I'm praising you that you could turn it around. You see, my thoughts have changed. My perspective is different because I'm thinking the way you think instead of thinking the way that I think. And can I just throw this out there? Can we get off of this whole, I just want to be real. I just want to be authentic about it. Let me tell you what that is. That is nothing more than excuse to complain. I didn't hear a lot of shouting on that one. Can we get away from this? I'm just going to be real about it. Listen, be real about it. God, you're real. And I believe that you can do something about this. And I am tempted to complain about it. And you better help me close my mouth. Come on. So how am I going to fix this? I'm going to go to God's word. It's amazing how the simple things are our biggest challenges. Because all through our lives, growing up in church and all the things that we're taught, we're always taught it goes back to God's word. But yet we struggle with reading our Bibles. Come on. And then when it comes summertime, it's hard to go to church. Not you, because you're here on the holiday weekend. Amen. All those other people that didn't come, that's their problem. Right? Don't tell them I said that. Anyway. We're going to disciple them in the Lord. Amen? Okay. But the simple things of going to God's word is usually our challenge. But don't you think that that could be a tactic of the enemy to keep you from going to God's word so that your perspective will never be his? Amen? And so this is where we go to God's word. And some of you are like, I can't read the Bible. I'm just not getting anything out of it. Go read the book of Psalms. You start identifying with those people real quick. Because they just pour out their heart of everything they're going through. Amen? And so I would encourage you to go to God's word. That's why it's important that you're in church, because you need the word spoken into your life, because there are days where you just ain't feeling it. Amen? And so you need the inspiration of God's word. And so I got a sermon illustration I want to use today to kind of help you. And I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. I saw this and I thought it would apply well today. This cup of water right here represents your life. And everything is good. It's refreshing. It's life-giving. But then these situations come along and drop a little something in your life. Come on, anybody ever had something just drop into your life before? And look at this. And some things come in and start shaking it up. And now your life that was looking so good, now you have the blues. Come on now. Now listen, there's still good stuff in there. But because of what was put in, what was dropped in our lives, we can't see it anymore. Because our life has now been colored by this situation. Are you following this today? And so the good things are in there, but they're covered by this thing that we're worried about, and our life is consumed with it. It's like our life has been dyed with this situation. And so even if we're having a good day, that situation is still there, and we're still trying to figure out what to do about it. And so we take a few days off and go on vacation, but it's still there. Come on, you ever been there before? Got a new job, it's a new beginning, but that stuff is still there. Those thoughts are still there. Those issues are still carrying on our mind, and we're not sure what to do with it. And so whenever we read scriptures like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, go ahead and throw it up there, E. It says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like, how do I change this? How do I get this fixed? Because it is everywhere in my life, everywhere that I go. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's another verse to follow it up. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. Watch this. Washed by the cleansing of God's word. Now, Jesus told us in this life, you will have troubles. Jesus said that. He said, in this life, you will have troubles. And these things get dropped on us. And it contaminates us. It fills our life. But there's still some good in it. But what we have to do is we have to go to God's word and continually fill our lives with his word. Now, I'm going to make a mess. All you people who are neat freaks, don't panic. It's going to be all right, okay? I promise you. Tell your neighbor it's going to be all right. So look what's happening as I'm filling it up with water. Oh, it's still blue, Pastor. I went to church one time, and look what happened. It got worse. I started reading my Bible, but it ain't working, Pastor Wade. You see what I'm saying? This is where we start. But what happens if you keep? Uh-oh, I see a change. Are you seeing how this is working? Don't worry about the mess. It's going to be fine. Look at this. I'm reading my Bible every day. Come on. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm getting a new perspective on it. I'm believing what God said. What's happening here? Oh, hold on. I joined a small group. And there was that person, that small group, that shared something with me and encouraged me. What's happened here? All those things that we were worried about. Some of y'all right now, you're like, I am worried about this stuff getting on the floor. Gonna stain the stage panels, Pastor Wade. It's gonna be all right. So how do we fix our thoughts? With the water of God's word. And it's not a one-time thing. It's not a sometime thing. It's a continual thing. So I go to his word. Listen, if you're going through something right now, it is good to have friends. But what happens if their life has been colored by troubles and all you do is sit around and talk about how bad it is? All you're starting to do is mix all those troubles together. That's why if you're going to have some real deal conversations, let's get the word in it. Amen. If you're going to get some encouragement from somebody, I appreciate your advice and your experience, but I need God's word. Or else my thoughts are only going to duplicate your thoughts, and we will both be worried in the same way about the same things. But we'll just feel better that we're not the only ones who feel this way. Listen, get a support group, but make sure that support group has some word. Amen? Come on. That's why I'm telling you, a good small group. A good small group where there's some people whose lives have been filled with God's word. And let them pour something in your life. And better yet, let me turn this around. Because some of us, we have some of God's word in our lives. And we're just not open to sharing it. Come on now. We're not open to share it because we're afraid that they might not receive it. Or it may not work. It worked for you. Come on, just pour a little bit of it. Share what God has given you with someone else. Amen? How are we going to fix our thoughts? It's going to be simple. I know it's hard, but it's so simple. It's the word of God. It's God's word. So I'm going to God with prayer. God, I'm bringing it to you today. And I worship you. And the reason I'm able to worship him is because I know what your word says. So lifting my hands doesn't even bother me because I ain't worried about them. I'm focused on you because I know what you can do. Amen? Bring it to him in prayer and worship. Fix it with God's word. Here's the third thing. Practice it with God's people. Practice it with God's people. Most of the time when people are going through things, they isolate themselves. Because we don't want anybody to think that anything is wrong with me. Especially church people, because they all look like they got it together and we are the only ones who don't. And so until we get it together, we're going to have to stay away. And when we get some things back on track, we'll go back. Here's the problem with that. After a while, you don't want to go back. It's all right, y'all. It's fine. I'll say it like this. We need to have some people who are some good examples in our lives. We need some people that we can run with. And I think the church needs to be the people that everyone looks at and says, I feel like that's who I need to run with. Because when I feel like I'm falling behind, I can count on them. I can count on them to give me something that's going to keep me going. Amen? I can count on them for that encouragement. I can go together in the house of God on a Sunday morning and I don't feel like it. But when they start singing that song and other people begin to sing along, it brings me back to the place where I know this is where I belong. This is what I'm supposed to do. That's why I said you got to practice it with God's people. There's a spiritual component. There's an emotional component. But it precedes the physical component. Cynthia announced small groups earlier. And so I don't do small groups. I'm more to myself. Do you know that the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And it's also described as a wolf waiting to attack. And their technique is to get the animal that they wish to attack in isolation. Because they know if they can get you alone, then you have no defense to come to your aid. And so those thoughts in our mind of, I'm just going to figure this out on my own, is a dangerous place because it leads you ultimately to defeat. The flip side of it is, if I go to someone, they may judge me. Am I right? Come on. They may judge me. And can I just say that we have no place to judge people? That's God's place. Can we let God be God and let us be man and woman? Amen? Because the last time I checked, I still got to go to his word to renew my mind. And the last time I checked, I still got to go and bring it to him through prayer and worship. And so if I'm already going there, why don't you just come with me? Amen? If I'm already going to him with prayer and praise to bring it to him, why don't you just come with me? If I'm already going to go to his word to fix it, why don't you just come with me? And why don't we, the church, just go together? And people who are carrying all these heavy burdens, why don't we say, hey, why don't you just come with us and we'll help you? We'll help you to find the rest, the peace that you're looking for. I know a place that you can go. I know someone that you can talk to that can carry this heavy burden for you. Amen. I know a place that you can go where these thoughts that have plagued your mind forever can be changed. I know it's hard, but His word is all powerful. Amen. I know a place you can go. And so why don't you just come with me? Come with me. So I need God. So I'm bringing it to Him. I need His word. But I've also learned that we need each other. Amen? We need each other. There are people in here, you hear me preach, but there's something about it when somebody grabs you after a service and say, I just want to encourage you. It's like the little whipped cream with the cherry on top of the ice cream. Come on. They just made it that much better. So this whole thought of carrying it, please, with due respect, I do understand that there are some serious things that people are carrying. But at the same time, I want you to know that there is a God in heaven who wants you to bring it to Him. Come on. He wants you to bring it to Him. I want to finish with this thought, because people think if I give it to Him, it means I don't have to care about it anymore. When you give it to Him, it doesn't mean that you're don't care. Doesn't mean that you're being irresponsible. It means that you absolutely care and that you are absolutely being responsible, because you want to put it in the best hands. You want to put it in God's hands. So this morning, put it in practical terms. Bring it to Him in prayer and worship. Fix it with the word. Practice it with God's people. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning and close our eyes. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. And Father, there are people here carrying heavy burdens, and they need You. And today, Father, we're coming to You for help.